Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. So, did you know before watching Monday Night Raw that Fastlane was this Sunday?
Yes.
I surely forgot.
Like, I don't think I could tell you all the matches that are on there.
Oh, Lord, no. That's why we have Wikipedia.
Yes, and...
which I should probably get that card out as we're talking right now.
And there's a lot of, like, I feel like there's something going on with Becky and Charlotte and Ronda, and I don't 100% know what it is.
Well, you know, good thing we religiously watched every minute of Raw and SmackDown, right? Yes, and we're moving on.
Depending on if you want to count the 90-minute.
Sure. But good thing for that because, you know, they kind of got us covered on the big stuff because they changed everything within, like, the last week or so.
Yeah. So, I guess the big news is Ronda Rousey's the heel now, y'all.
Yeah.
And like a good, clean, hey, I'm going to say mean things to the crowd because they suck and sure are a bunch of jerks.
Because they booed me in my hometown or her home or whatever.
Which,
you know what?
Which is a good, traditional, classic reason to be a heel. I like that. That's a good... safe, like you don't have to try and do something weird about like how, oh, I'm, you know, from UFC and that's real fighting, wink wink, and all you pansy wansy wrestlers can't, you know.
Yeah,
like, you know what, no, I don't need any of that.
I think from watching Monday Night Raw this past week, someone on Twitter, I can't remember exactly who, but they basically echoed my sentiments through all these segments, even like the weird special guest host segment with the two guys from SNL.
Mm-hmm.
Stop talking about wrestling being fake.
Yeah.
Like, stop it. They've been doing so much of it lately. And I understand, like, yes, we are all in agreement that it is fake, but we're suspending disbelief. Like, that's the point of the show.
Right.
Stop talking about it.
So, there was a while back, good long while back, where CM Punk... says something about, like, you know, and this isn't CM Punk talking to Triple H. This is
right.
Phil Brooks talking to Paul Levesque. And that was this.
And I really thought Triple H was going to pull that card during his promo.
Yeah. And, like, I was very torn on it at the time because I was like, ooh. And then I was like, ooh. I don't know if ooh is correct.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with it because it's just enough of, like, peeking into real life.
Yeah.
But not, like, flat out being like, ah, forget your fake stuff. I'm going to murder you for real or something like that. Like,
yeah. And, like...
it's like, I'm okay with that, but I'm not really all that okay with the Ronda on Twitter stuff.
Yeah, the Ronda on Twitter stuff is...
that's just flat out ignoring kayfabe altogether.
And yes.
Working yourself into a shoot, in the immortal words of the immortal Hulk Hogan.
Well, and so that surfaced again because of Ronda and then Triple H this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of sitting there and going like, well, my gut reaction is like, CM Punk did it, so it's the right thing to do. You all suck. I hate you and CM Punk's, you know, my perfect podcast wrestling smarky smark idol. And so,
sure.
Well, but like...
it's not a white or black thing, though.
It's not.
You have to know how to, like, utilize it, but to a point where it enhances the kayfabe. Like,
yes.
You have to have a good... you have to walk the line very finely.
And somebody in the comments of something, and it's not just one person, plenty of people have tried to make this analogy, is, you know, imagine... Luke Skywalker going up at, you know, at Return of Jedi. I mean, like, this isn't Luke facing Vader. This is Mark Hamill taking on James Earl Jones and David Prowse.
Right.
Like, it's like, no, that's weird. And I don't like that.
But let's be honest. If anyone wanted to fight David Prowse, I'd be understanding. The guy is kind of a prick.
But, I mean, they didn't, like, I had to add that in because they kept saying James Earl Jones, and I was like, well, James Earl Jones wasn't on the set, so your analogy is flawed. And so, like, I could feel the glasses growing around my face thinking this, reading that, so I had to add him in. But we talk about wrestling, and when you sit there and try and convince somebody like wrestling's cool. You're like, and they're like, you know, it's fake. And you're like, nah, Game of Thrones.
Yeah. It's just fake. It's just as real as Game of Thrones. Yeah.
And it's still not quite the same thing. It's not a perfect analogy because this is, yes, a TV show, but it's also a live performance.
Right.
And there are things, and this is a weird, obscure reference, and so bear with me here. You might know what I'm talking about because it is tangentially related to Ron Funches, but if you haven't, so Whitney Cummings, for those of you who don't know, is a stand-up comic. She's had some stuff on Netflix. She had a TV show called Whitney for 2 seasons on NBC. Fairly low-rated show. Got canceled. Like, barely made it the first time and then definitely got canceled. Like,
right.
It was kind of a miracle that it got season two. The person who played her boyfriend was on...
Chris D'Elia.
Yes. Yeah. He was on Undateable.
Yes. Which I was a big fan of that show.
Yes. And so there's one moment on that show that they switched the show to live at one point.
For the final... Well, they didn't know it was going to be the final season, but it ended up being the final season.
Right. Yeah.
It kind of started with... They did their... I think season two finale live.
Yes, and that was a big hit.
Right, and so, like, and so we'll decided to do the entire season like that. And so they would do two performances, one for East Coast and then again at West Coast.
Right, and there's one point where Whitney Cummings is a guest star on the show, has a scene with him, and I don't remember what happened in there. Like, I don't remember what she said or what the joke was, but there was this like big... you know, pregnant pause moment of like, and he says, don't get us canceled again, which is a great bit.
It's a great bit, and it works if you understand, you know, the previous show.
Yes, obviously.
But it completely kind of takes you out of the kayfabe of Undateable and that their whole reality.
And obviously, for this particular instance, I had to explain for 5 minutes this other show and like build to explain why.
And ultimately, they were canceled.
Yes. But to explain why this joke works. But for here, when we're in wrestling, you already know that.
Yeah.
So, like, you who is listening to this podcast, you know all the, like, there's this other show and it had 2 seasons on this other channel. Da, da, da. The wrestling equivalent of that, you know. So these peaks like that are not bad things. When Cena did a heel turn, he's like, oh, I might be doing a heel turn in the ring. And then he does this little, like, heel waggle where you're like, that's a nice peak. Where Triple H one time was talking about, like, how his friend Mark had an idea about what they should do that night.
Right.
You're like, okay. Even more obscure. There was this one time where... they were doing the two Sin Caras.
Yeah.
And the commentary is like, oh, which one's the real Sin Cara? And Booker T is like, I got it. I've been noticing that one of the Sin Caras has a mark on his boots, and I think that's the real Sin Cara. Which was a reference to one point in the locker room when Sin Cara was putting on the wrong boots.
Right.
And didn't know it, and like, so he'd been marking his boots.
Yeah.
So he knew which one was his, because his feet are bigger than other Sin Caras.
Right.
And I'm like, that's works in this like weird Booker T is a crazy person on commentary anyway.
Yeah.
But it's also like this, if you are dedicated, it's this weird like...
I had no idea about the thing with the boots. I'll be flat out honest.
Well,
but then again, my eyes kind of glazed over throughout that entire rivalry. I remember that it happened, but I don't remember
the best thing Sin Cara ever did. That and this like one random match with Daniel Bryan and original Sin Cara.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there are these things. There are these peaks behind the curtain that can be very fun, can feel rewarding, and your show is so nonsensical and non-rigid about its own canon that it's okay. Stuff doesn't make sense all the time.
Right.
Like, doing lucha things could have been a reference to something.
Yeah.
That could have just been way too deep for me.
Right.
Like, there are so many things where, like, I'm going to say a thing. And you're like, that was a weird thing. Probably because you bundled something.
It's like, it reminds me of the only time during the whole era where JBL was on there with Cole and commentator on SmackDown.
Booker T.
No, the currently.
Byron Saxton.
Byron Saxton, yeah. It was the one time Byron Saxton ever got one over on JBL, because, you know, JBL just lays into Byron the entire time.
Yeah.
And then somebody had said something like, I think maybe, like, it was probably an Enzo thing, because it sounds like something Enzo would do. It's like, you know, there's few things you never do. Is one of them is look another man in the eye when you're eating a banana, and you just hear Byron go, John. And you hear Michael Cole bust out laughing for a split second before he hits the mute button. And I don't get the reference. Majority of the audience don't get the reference. But I'm just proud that, you know, Byron Saxton finally got one over on JBL.
Yeah.
You know?
So, all of these things, the undateable don't get his canceled, to the heel turn, mm-hmm. to the mark on Sin Cara's mm-hmm. boot, to the reference to Mark, none of those, like, would work if they were trying to do inside jokes in Star Wars or Game of Thrones sure. either.
Yeah.
There is a time and a place to be able to, in this weird, unique thing, mm-hmm. you know, be like, oh, hey, here's a bit of a reference, a gag, a thing just that we're mentioning that we are something unique. Mm-hmm. We are a TV show, but also a live performance, and also this weird, like, theater thing, mm-hmm. and also this long-running story. Which is why the undateable thing, I'm like, oh, that was a TV show that was shot live. That's mm-hmm. one of the few things where you're like, oh, this is the closest you can get
yeah.
to having the same scenario that is wrestling. Mm-hmm. But even then, wrestling is its own weird, true, and unique scenario.
Yeah.
Which is why sometimes these things work and sometimes they don't. And we've talked about Twitter at length last week.
Yeah.
And where it's not working there. Whatever Ronda Rousey's doing is not working.
No.
And we've gotten to the point where I feel like Becky isn't helping.
No.
Like, at one point, you're just making it's that stop, he's already dead.
Yes. Absolutely, yeah. Because, like, every time Ronda said something, you knew Becky was just going to say something that just blew everything out of the water in a good way. And then Ronda would try to go nuclear with, like, something that she thinks is, you know, punch for punch with it, but really it's just unnecessary.
Yeah.
It feels a little gross.
It's these things where we got to the point where, like, you know, somebody, because I don't follow either of them on Twitter, but every wrestling site is like, this is the latest tweet that they
said. I mean, follow Becky. Like, it's worth your follow. I promise you. Ronda, not so much.
First of all,
you're into, you know, some of her politics, which I was going to make some more poignant references, but I'll lay off of it.
I do very little following of wrestlers on Twitter. I have yet to, and even with this is their mm-hmm. biggest feud yet that is being propelled on Twitter, yeah. and I'm still like, I don't need this. I know what's going on.
Let's just put it this way. If Ronda Rousey came out and said that, you know, she maybe doesn't believe it, but she's curious about the flat earth theory, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
I know. My point is, I don't follow anybody on Twitter, but I was able right. to keep up with everything
because
everybody's posting, everybody's talking about
it. And it was all, like, towards the top of the subreddit.
Yes. But we get to the point where it's like, Becky just tweeted this, and I'm not, I don't have, it's like, oh, what'd she say? It's like this.
Yeah.
Now it's not dead yet.
Yeah. It's now, more of a diminishing returns kind
like,
of situation.
I don't even need to. And part of it is, like, you just don't look as good beating up on something pathetic.
No.
And that's what Becky is doing at this point on Twitter. They both look great in mm-hmm. the ring and can go toe-to-toe in the ring, mm-hmm. but Becky isn't looking great on Twitter anymore, partially just because it's
you killed it already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and that's, you know, just another, you know, reason in the column of, this Twitter thing isn't working.
Right.
This Twitter as a feud projector mm-hmm. doesn't work.
Yeah. So, yeah. In conclusion, you're right. Undateable is an underrated show and should never have been canceled and should still be going to this day. Moving on. You want to just dive into the Fastlane card?
Yeah, that's fine.
So, inexplicably, this match is going on in the kickoff show, and we're all hoping it would be a WrestleMania match, and it still could be. You never know. But Andrade versus Rey Mysterio on the kickoff show. Weird. Weird. So a lot of people are hoping there, you know, it goes to, you know, a like a DQ finish or something. Sketchy to kind of like continue the feud to go into WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Although it feels like it's been going on for a while, and they've been in matches against each other pretty much every other week at this point.
Well, that comes to the problem that we've talked about a few weeks ago, where the road to WrestleMania is just too busy now. It's not necessarily too long, because it's always been, you know, from the Rumble, not always, but for years it's been from the Rumble to, you know, WrestleMania. That's the road to WrestleMania. And you're like, you do so much stuff between you got two pay-per-views and 12 shows mm-hmm. between those two. There's so all this, like, and honestly, we're talking about WrestleMania at Survivor Series at this point. When Becky couldn't wrestle at Survivor Series, mm-hmm. everybody was like, that sucks for her face. That's great, because now there's a setup for WrestleMania.
Right. And even, like, you know, even in a close trip, we did the same thing with Elimination Chamber with Kofi. You know, and now, you know, with all the shenanigans going on there, like, all right, well, then WrestleMania, like, you're not really focused on Fastlane. You're just like, all right, that's cool and all, but how does this fit into the WrestleMania picture?
So,
it's always in the back of your mind.
So when you have stuff like, hey, I could see a Rey Mysterio and Andrade match at mm-hmm. WrestleMania because they're fighting mm-hmm. on SmackDown in December. And then you're like, well, yeah. And then they keep going and you're like, I still want that to happen.
Right.
And I want them to fight now because they're in a feud.
Sure.
And it's like, but I want that to be fresh for 3 straight months. And one of those things can't happen.
No, not at all. And like at this point, it would almost feel like a shame if both guys ended up in the Andre at WrestleMania. Because like that's where just everybody's
dubbed
into.
The rest of them go.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't even want to really pick a winner. I just want to, like, again, we're not guessing for anything. So, you know, I'm just going to, my official prediction is going to be
no contest.
Some sort of DQ, no contest shenanigans.
Yeah. Well, it's also kind of a weird thing because Rey Mysterio is obviously a big hero.
Yeah.
And
it's like, why put Rey Mysterio on your kickoff show?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know I'm not a huge fan.
Well, like, no.
But I still, like, am under the understanding that, you know, he's a huge draw still to this day. And he's still a great, you know, he's a great hand in the ring. Like, you know, he's something that everyone wants to witness.
Yeah.
Why put that on your kickoff show?
I don't know. Go next.
We got the triple threat for the Raw Tag Team Championship. Revival, Aleister Black, Ricochet, Gable, and Rude.
I'm going to want to keep it on, what's their names? The Revival?
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I have a feeling they might put it on Aleister Black and Ricochet.
It just almost feels like they can't resist.
Yeah.
Like, this whole call-up thing, because, you know, they brought up Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa as well. Now we found out that Tommaso Ciampa got hurt, so I don't know if that kind of stalled any sort of plan as far as, you know, the two of them on the main roster, at least for right now. Because they kind of, it feels like they kind of go hand in hand right at this moment. You know, as far as we know, Aleister Black and Ricochet are on the main roster now.
Yeah.
Aleister Black, like, basically said his goodbyes on the NXT live shows this past weekend. So they're so, you know, and they're rightfully enamored with the two of them. They're both great talents. But I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I like them as a tag team. I don't, you know, yeah, it's a way to kind of get them,
well, they're
get a spotlight on immediately.
They're not a tag team. They are two guys thrown together.
Right.
With this tangential connection of they were in NXT in the same time, which isn't.
And they were never enemies, so sure.
Yeah. But they're also very different personalities.
Yes.
And we're not getting a, like, odd couple, you know, cultures clash, perfect strangers kind of
thing. It's just two guys that get along. Like, that's their characters right now.
Yeah. Like, the last time this worked was The Bar, which was very much a, like, these guys could be a sitcom if there wasn't all this wrestling involved.
Sure. But those guys also, you know, beat each other to a pulp for 7 matches.
Yeah.
Then they, you know, we're a tag team. Then they started, like, you know, doing the whole odd couple thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and they're not putting that kind of time into this.
Not at all. There's been
a few different posts going around the internet over the past couple of weeks. Things that would be like, oh, here's, you know, all the champions in terms of how long they've been. Here's the last 9 people to have won each currently active championship.
Right.
Just kind of interesting infographics. But the thing that I've been taking away from everyone is there's so many championships.
There really is.
I mean, and at some point, some of them are not rewards. And the tag team championship is not really a reward right now.
It feels like you're getting saddled with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a finish line. It's a ceiling. This is how high you can go.
Yeah.
If you could go any higher, you wouldn't be...
in a tag team. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't be a tag team that's kind of like copy and pasted together.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, it's really bad, but I think it's the case that like championship gold is going to be a weight around these guys' career rather than a boost right now.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that and plus, you know, the Revival were told that they're going to be the face of the tag team division, you know, now that they, you know, made a fuss. So, in order for that to happen, they probably should have the championships for more than, you know,
a few weeks. A minute.
So, that's my main reasoning for, you know, it feels like this is an excuse to make sure they're on the card in some fashion. And they'll probably do something similar for WrestleMania or just be in the Andre. Honestly, if they're in the Andre, I feel like one of them are probably going to win it.
Yeah.
Just because they're the new toys. They're, you know, like we heard the theory of why they were brought into the main roster like they were. And so Vince has every intention of, you know, building them up, you know, while, you know, strapping the rocket to them immediately.
Yeah.
I don't know how far that's going to, like, how high that will take them, or how long until Vince panics again and chooses a new, you know, shiny toy. You know, like, just ask Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
So it's really weird and it's confusing, but we move on. We've got the 6-man tag team match, which is probably going to end the show with Shield and Baron Corbin, Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley.
Probably I'm okay right now because, I mean, Roman Reigns. This is one time I'm like, yep, Roman Reigns is the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Roman Reigns should get the pin.
Yeah. I feel like this is the back of a lot of people's minds, but I feel like Dean is going to turn on him at some point during the night and lead to a Roman versus Dean
match at WrestleMania.
Feud. Right.
Yeah.
Keeps Roman out of the championship picture, but still gives him a high-profile match that he's absolutely going to win, but also has Dean in a high-profile situation before he leaves or stays. I don't know.
Yes, there have been conflicting reports this week that Dean is no longer leaving WWE and Dean is still completely on schedule to leave WWE after WrestleMania. Basically, they came out the same day and were the exact opposite of each other.
Right.
I'm not even exaggerating to say they reported the exact opposite stance. Just further proving that, like...
And both, like, you know, stated it as if it was, you know, an absolute certainty.
Yeah. Just going to show, we don't know anything.
No, we don't know anything. You know, and a lot of people from the jump was really suspicious of... You know, whether or not this is for real or it might be storyline or something, it might just be, you know, Dean takes some time off.
Yeah.
And then comes back a few months later or something like that. Which is weird, which would be weird considering he took so much time off last year.
Yeah. But for the purposes of this match, obviously the Shield is going to win and look super triumphant doing it.
Yeah, the only way I could see them losing is shenanigans with like Dean costing them a match or turning on somebody or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But all that aside, Shield's winning. Next, we have the SmackDown Women's Championship match, which I forgot was happening. Asuka versus Mandy Rose.
Asuka. I pick Asuka.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess you could make a case for...
No, I pick Asuka.
Sonya Deville causing it to sway one way or the other.
Boy, howdy. It sure is fun to just get to pick Asuka again.
You're right. We got the championship, or the women's tag team championship match. got Bayley and Sasha Banks. I refuse to call them the Boston Dog Connection. And Nia and Tamina. I mean, Bayley and...
Yeah, I don't see any reason to take the champion other than the fact that they sure do love making Sasha Banks lose pay-per-views when she's just gotten a championship.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't see any reason not to... You're trying to establish another, you know, championship, and the best way to do that is to make your champions be champions for a little bit.
Yeah. So we've got the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Usos versus Miz and Shane. I mean...
Do you think Miz and Shane is going to make it through WrestleMania?
I kind of hope not. Honestly, like, I'm okay with it just ending and not leading to anything, but just kind of getting swept under the rug. And then both guys to start their own things. But, I mean, I understand, like, they are very... I don't want to say obsessed, but they are. They make sure Shane has something to do every WrestleMania.
They do make sure Shane has something to do WrestleMania.
And this is kind of a ready-made thing.
I think...
But I'm okay with throwing Shane in there, Andre.
See, I think what you're overlooking is best in the world, Shane and Miz has kind of been this goofball tag team this whole time. They've been...
Yeah, except they've been, like, super, like, trying to be inspirational the last couple weeks. That doesn't resonate with me at all.
I think they are... Everything's pointing to the fact that the New Day is going to be in a very serious match.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be Kofi, and then the New Day will be there for him.
Right.
And I think they feel like they need another fun tag team. And I can very much see them putting these guys together for the long haul to be the new fun tag team.
I mean, you may be right, but somebody needs to give WWE the memo because they have not been fun the last few weeks. They've been just boring me out of my gourd, like... It's not there.
See, I've been enjoying it. And part of that's just because I enjoy Miz. Like,
I mean, I will agree.
Come face or heel, Miz has always worked for me.
I will agree with you on that if it was like everything before they lost the championship to the Usos, that Elimination Chamber. Everything pre-Elimination Chamber, yeah, they had their moments. They were funny. They were fun. You know, all that stuff. And then from, like, the moment they lost the championship on, it's just been, like, a Miz, like, I'm going to make it up to you, like, and trying to be, like, all, like, serious and inspirational about it. And I'm like, that's not your thing. Like, that's not your guys' wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Shane can sometimes sell intensity, and certainly Miz can, but for some reason, as a cohesive unit, as a duo, it doesn't work for me.
All right. I mean, I'm not going to...
I'm not saying you're wrong because like there was a period of time where you're absolutely right, and that was their wheelhouse, that was their strong suit. They were really good at that, and then they deviated the last month. I haven't been like
I don't feel like the deviation is as strong as you're making it out to be. But again, that's not something I'm gonna go super hard to bat for.
You also only watch 90 minutes of each show.
I'll give it a bunch. I watched the whole SmackDown's on Hulu, right? They just edit Raw, and I think all of SmackDown's on there.
I don't know. I never watched I always watch the DVR version.
Yeah.
Now we have Becky versus Charlotte. Another match made last freaking minute.
Yes. Is there an official stipulation here?
Okay. If Becky Lynch wins, she will be added to the Raw Women's Championship match at WrestleMania 35.
We always assume that.
Yeah.
And there, so there's no way Charlotte's not going in there.
No.
Okay.
It's all Becky Lynch related.
Okay.
So you could argue that it's in Charlotte's best interest to win this match so that it's just her and Ronda.
Right.
You know.
Blah, blah, blah.
But it would be a hotter match if Charlotte had more to fight for.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, Becky's got everything to fight for.
Yeah.
Charlotte's like, well, I would like this advantage at this point. Like, that's not real, like... I don't know. That's not a real goal.
I don't mind it because they do this a lot. They do, hey, person A has to fight one half of this matchup, and if person A beats person B, then it's now a triple threat. They've earned their way into it. That's a pretty standard thing.
And 9 times out of 10, the person wins to be added to the triple threat or whatever.
Yeah. No, it always happens that way. I mean, not always, but...
The vast majority of the time.
Yes. You
I would say at least 90%.
You know when it's going to happen and when it's not going to happen. It's not a mystery or a surprise.
Right. If it's Zack Ryder getting trying to get added to something, he's going to lose. Yeah. You know? If it's Roman, he's the dude's winning.
Yeah. So, yeah, obviously Becky's going to win this.
And finally, we've got the WWE Championship match. Daniel Bryan versus Kevin Owens.
I mean, Daniel Bryan's got to win, right?
Daniel Bryan is going to come out of this
still
show
champion.
Still champion. However, they're going to get
done with Kevin Owens. Like, that's part of just kind of a shame, though, is like, because Kevin Owens is, you know, coming back to eat this loss.
But it's face Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I don't know.
But face Kevin Owens is back, and his first feud is against Daniel Bryan, who he has to lose to and not get an eventual victory over, because Daniel Bryan has to immediately go into this Kofi thing.
Right. Because surely they won't make that a triple threat too.
No, I don't.
Like, there's
think
so many similarities between this and the Becky Lynch scenario that, like, surely this one's just going to be a one-on-one match. I don't know how they get out of this without Kevin Owens looking weak.
I think he just looks weak.
Yeah.
I think he straight up and down loses this match and he starts something new on Tuesday. Like, I
Unless, because there was somebody else that was announced to be coming back soon a while ago, and then they kind of like stopped airing, you know, all announcements about that. But what if Sami Zayn comes back,
interferes,
and he's still the heel and costs the match for KO, setting up a KO Sami Zayn match at WrestleMania, which feels appropriate.
They should have a WrestleMania match, but. Boy, howdy, Kevin Owens should be the heel.
I don't know, man. This will be an interesting take on it because this would be the first time in WWE that Kevin Owens been the face and Sammy's the heel.
Mm-hmm.
It's always either been the other way around or they're both heels.
Yeah.
So that would be a good way because honestly, they've fought each other a lot since they've been on the main roster.
Like, yeah.
Almost exclusively each
okay.
other. Okay. At least in Sammy's position.
Well, position.
So I feel like this is enough to keep make it feel fresh.
The thing is, they've not spent a whole lot of time having it's you and me, we are going to fight about this feud.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten each other's way a lot. If they're ever in the ring together,
they had a feud against each other.
Yeah, they've had one, but like there is this it's got to be, you know, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn isn't the fight forever match. But gets a lot of the fight forever feel to it. And all of that comes from NXT.
Yeah.
Their stuff in WWE main roster has been very watered down, short, has not felt like that is a satisfying 3-month back and forth story arc.
Yeah. I know that they've had good matches, like really good matches against each other on a pay-per-view and a feud against each other, but the feuds themselves didn't really feel anything special.
Right.
So I in that instance, like I feel like there's, you know, kind of like how we felt with the like AJ Nakamura feud, like we're like we feel like they still haven't had their match,
real feud yet.
The match that you feel like that's the quintessential match of this feud.
Right.
You know. And I kind of feel like that with KO and Sami Zayn on the main roster.
Yeah.
At WWE, I feel like this is their opportunity, and it's a way to get KO out of the championship picture without him looking terribly weak.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, like I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I feel like that's probably the only way they can do that. But knowing WWE, they're probably just gonna have KO look weak.
Yeah,
but
Kevin Owens is good enough at this that he can eat a pin from the champion, who is Daniel Bryan right now. Again, he's not losing to Jinder Mahal. Like, he's...
If this is a drawn-out, dragged-down fight where both guys are completely spent and Daniel Bryan wins by the skin of his teeth, Kevin Owens will be fine.
Yeah.
You know, he still looks strong enough. You know? But I wouldn't do it all that often anymore because he took a lot of damage as far as losing a lot of matches before he left.
Yeah, he did.
And a lot of it was Bobby Lashley. Just reminding everyone of that.
Yeah. That's the card, right?
That's the whole card, yeah.
All right. We do need to talk about, we got news this week that King Kong Bundy had passed away.
And yeah, like he's, you know, a lot of iconic moments, you know, a lot of the WWE fans will remember him as, you know, Hulk Hogan's opponent for that really weird WrestleMania 2.
He was kind of the prototype for the Hulk Hogan versus Andre match that would come 1 year later.
Yeah.
Which is just,
honestly, like, I always felt like King Kong Bundy was undervalued in the grand scheme of things. Like, I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's because they wanted to focus so much on Andre back in the day, as far as like their big guy. Because I feel kind of the same about Big John Studd as well.
Yeah.
But King Kong Bundy especially, because I feel like he had, as far as a big guy, he had the best personality, like the biggest personality out of all of them. Wasn't he the guy who faced all the little people at WrestleMania 3?
Yeah, I think so.
And he splashed a bunch of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a weird moment, and I felt like he was so above that. So it shows you that Vince utilizing people is not anything new.
It's nothing new.
No.
And
no, don't listen to Enzo. King Kong Buddy is not George the Animal Steel. What an idiot.
But no, a lot of, you know, warm thoughts poured out. And one thing that really struck me was a lot of people's fondest memory of this guy weren't in-ring moments. They were meeting him at a signing or something. He was cited as the one that was the most jovial, the most excited to meet fans, the politest.
He was also a real fun follow on Twitter.
So
he was real funny.
Yeah,
he was good.
I mean, and he has this, you know, big moment where he was, you know, in the main event of WrestleMania, which we've been told is, you know, the penultimate respect to give somebody.
And again, like, there's only, you know, there's people in 35 years, there's only 35 main events, and he was one of them.
Yeah. And if you want to, you know, talk about what a, you know, mess the main event of WrestleMania 1 was, he was in the first ever championship, WWE championship match at a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Or WWF, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Because the first main event was just a tag team match in the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, you know, the guy's got a lot of history. And like I said, it's not his history isn't celebrated enough by WWE. And certainly he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame long before he passed.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's definitely one of the people where you sit here and kind of wonder why in the world he's not. Like, for me, he's up there with Bruiser Brody. Like, Bruiser Brody's, like, he's my, like, big, like, why is he
You're
not in?
You're glaring a mission.
Yeah. And Vader, too.
Yeah. Is Vader not in the Hall of Fame?
Mm.
I thought Vader got put in a few, like, recently.
I don't know if they did it posthumously. Because he passed away last year. And as of his passing, he was not in the Hall of Fame.
I don't remember. I'll believe you.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's right up there with Bruce Brody, Vader, and now King Kong Bundy, and China. Even though she's going with DX, and that's probably as good
what we'll get.
Honestly, that's fine. She's in. I'm not gonna be one of the people that is making a huge thing about that, but she's in, so I'm okay with it.
So that China, as much as I'm gonna advocate for, she deserves a spot in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I understand the complications with her,
right,
and how they are unique.
Yeah.
And so,
as much as she deserves to be acknowledged on her own,
yes,
yeah.
Well,
I'll take the fact that she's in.
Well, so many people just were like, "Oh, Triple H's personal history with her is what's keeping her out," and I think that the, you know, complexity of the situation is far more than something as simple as that.
Yeah.
And so, I am okay with this being, you know, a sort of compromise that. There will be some recognition of her career and her contribution.
Yeah. I mean, wrestling. you can't keep somebody out of the Hall of Fame just because they, you know, because of one person's history with that individual. Like, by that token, like, you know, are they going to keep CM Punk out of the Hall of Fame just because, you know, Triple H doesn't like him? You know, like...
It's going to be a good long while before CM Punk goes in the Hall of Fame. I will
sure.
say that.
But you understand what I'm saying. Like,
he might go in after he dies.
Honestly, at this point, I would like to... Just for the simple fact of how stubborn he is,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're probably right, because I feel like he's going to be holding on to a grudge for a while. Or not necessarily having a grudge, but just having... Just no interest at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and that's the thing is, like, if he has no interest and they reach out and they say, hey, we're thinking about putting you in the Hall of Fame, and you're just going to have him trashing it on Twitter and
yeah.
trashing.
And even if he doesn't, he's just going to tell them to shove it.
Yeah.
You know?
So, but yeah, I mean, obviously he will be in the Hall of Fame one day.
Knowing him, well. I don't know what the state of their friendship is, but knowing him, like, yeah, sure, if Cole Cabana inducts me. Which so, I don't think is going to happen.
Yeah. Anything else this week?
No, I think that's just about it.
All right. Yeah. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire, where we live tweet when it's appropriate, one of which will be this Sunday. You know, hang out on Twitter and chat
into
about...
the fast lane with
fast
us.
Fast lane.
Vroom, vroom, vroom. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that to our email. That's classroomattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow podcasts. Get an episode every single week. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from
you. We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're talking about.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.